Hello, may I speak to Dr. Burwell, please?
Hello?
Good morning, Dr. Burwell.
Good morning to you.
How are you today?
And yourself?
I am well, thank you. And I'm a lot better now that the sun is finally shining.
Yeah, it looks good. It's been shining here, too.
And we got all this ice and snow finally starting to melt.
Yeah. Houses practically gone.
Uh-huh. Well, I thought we might just talk a little bit this morning. I mentioned to you the other day I wanted to just get some background. I wanted to find out, you know, where and when you were born.
Oh, I was born right here in Henderson, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And when? November the 25th,
1916. That's a way back, before a little bit before my time.
Yeah.
And when did you go to medical school?
Well, medical school in the early 40s. I'm in the class of 41.
How did you end up in the Navy?
Well, that, of course, was in December of 41. And as I say, I was serving an internship at the time. The whole affair caught me by surprise, to be quite honest with you. I was not aware that all of this was really going on, being completely immersed in internship in the hospital and not having as much outside contact as perhaps I'd have otherwise. So I was completely flabbergasted by Pearl Harbor. And I guess after this sunk in, it took about a month for it to do so, really. You know, I went down to the Navy recruiting station and signed up. They accepted me, but did not call me to active duty until I completed the internship in July of 42. So I went on to active duty. Actually, I had to go through another preliminary physical. The Navy works in strange ways, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, they still do.
Though I was in New Orleans and had signed up at the recruiting station there in New Orleans, they sent me back to my home naval district to take the final physical in Charlotte, North Carolina. So at least that gave me an opportunity to come home after I finished my internship. And reported to Charlotte for the examination, and then on following that, I entered active duty at Norfolk Navy Yard, Portsmouth, Virginia. It was the first part of August, I think August the 4th, probably. I'm getting a little confused that day. Was there for about a month working in the dispensary of the Navy Yard. Then I had orders to report to the Sewanee, which was then under construction over the Hampton Road. Not Hampton. Navy Yard there.
Newport News.
Yeah, Newport News.
Uh-huh.
And so I reported there, and when the ship went in commission, I guess I was there about a week before it was formally commissioned.
It had been converted. It had been I think it had been an oiler.
That's exactly right. It was an oiler. There were four of them, the Dewanee, Shenango, Tennessee, and Sangamon. All, of course, the Navy in those days named the oilers for rivers. My understanding is that these ships were initially built as oilers, but with due to some subsidy from the Navy, were so built that they could be converted. And that is what did happen when war broke out. They were called in and converted from oilers to aircraft carriers.
Do you remember your impression of the ship when you went aboard?
Well, a lot of confusion because it was still swarming with workers in the Navy Yard, and everything, of course, the smell of acetylene torches and so on. The place, the thing was nasty, of course, with all of the construction materials and weekends lying about.
What was the crossing like going over to Africa?
It was not bad. Going over, as I recall, we rendezvoused in Bermuda with the remainder of the fleet that was going over. And I was told at the time when we set up with the remainder of the task force that this was the largest armada that had ever been assembled in the history of the world. I don't know how true that is, but that's what we were told. It did look pretty big to me across the horizon, big ships everywhere. Let's see. Then, there's one peculiar situation which a lot of people nowadays may not realize. We had a squadron of Army T-38s aboard, in addition to our regular complement of Navy fighters and torpedo bombers. We carried, in addition, this Army squadron. When we got to North Africa, we catapulted those fellas off. Of course, they couldn't come back. They couldn't land.
But they could take off.
Well, we catapulted them off, and they were supposed to go over and attack and then find a place to land in North did have a storm on the way over, I remember. We were in a storm, and some poor sailor got appendicitis in the midst of the storm. We had a senior medical officer aboard with me and a dentist. And thank goodness the senior medical officer was a surgeon, so he was able to do the appendectomy. I was a first member at that point, just completed a year of internship. That was all I knew. We had not even at that point had a chance to unpack our medical supplies. But I remember we did find enough material to be able to operate on this poor sailor in the midst of the storm. It did get pretty rough. We had to tie ourselves to the operating table at the time in order to maintain our position while we operated. And on the way, when we were in North Africa, or rather off the coast of Casablanca, one of our missions was to attack the French battleship Jean Bart. So our fighters did do so. Our torpedo bombers did so. And they did knock that out of commission along with the help of others in the task force, of course. And the Jean Bart, though, you know, had been encased in concrete in the harbor at Casablanca, so there was no sinking in it. It's just that it just put it out of commission. On the way back, we ran into a terrific storm that sealed the front part of the flight deck back, as a matter of fact, and we had to have that prepared when we got back in about a month later. And then we had about, a week of leave.
Well, going back to Africa, it was said that the Swanee planes were able to. Oh, I'm sorry, that's later on. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, you sank a French submarine.
Yeah,
apparently.
I think so.
The planes did.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember a lot of those details. I think that is very possible. I think we also shot down an English plane too, but I don't know whether that's in the record or not.
Yeah. Oh, I meant to ask you earlier if you remember what the sick bay looked like on the Swanee.
Yeah.
What was it like?
Well, we had one fairly large bed. It would be what you would call a standard hospital bed. And then we had about 12 bunks, one atop another. And then adjacent to that, we had an operating room. And adjacent to that, a pharmacy. And adjacent to that, a sick call area and a dental office. And I think we must have had about 12 corpsmen aboard. I don't remember. It grows a little dim now. Of course, from time to time, that may have varied up or down one or two, depending on who was being transferred or
You had about 12 corpsmen, and you had, what, two or three physicians?
We had a senior medical officer and myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was a junior medical officer for ship's company. The squadron usually brought a flight surgeon with them who served the squadron. Of course, we all worked together. on certain duties, or he would spell me on certain duties. Some flight surgeons, though, were only interested in the psychiatry side of the thing, and nursing the Azales, as we call them.
They still call them that, by the way. One dentist aboard, too?
Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he would help out with first aid and things like that, but the dentist was kept pretty busy with his dental duties because in those days, a lot of the American public had extremely poor dental hygiene, and a lot of these kids coming aboard had probably never seen or heard of a dentist before. The condition of their teeth was terrible, and the dentist was kept busy just trying to get them into some sort of shape. And I was very fond of the dentist we had. I saw him, as a matter of fact, this past fall at our reunion in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I had not seen the fellow since he left the ship in 1944, I guess it was. After all these years, to see him again was a real treat. I spent a lot, as a matter of fact, we roomed together for most of the time, and I enjoyed him a great deal.
Mm-hmm. I had interrupted you when I was you telling me you went back to the States afterward.
Yeah, they gave us, I think, about a couple of, it seems to me I had a couple of days to get home and visit my mother was living at the time. And I caught the train from Norfolk to Henderson, which is not far. Certainly, at least overnight, anyway. Went back to the ship, and then off we took to go through the canal and head for the Pacific. I remember we shopped around, knowing we would be at sea for Christmas. We shopped around, found a Christmas tree, and take along.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Through the canal, our skipper was in such a hurry to get out there that he couldn't wait for the proper clearance coming through one of the locks. So he knocked off part of the superstructure trying to get through some obstruction there that didn't quite fit.
Mm-hmm.
But it was minor damage. It was repaired without any delay.
So then you headed over. Did you stop at Pearl on the way over?
No. Let's see. We went to New Caledonia. New Mir. New Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
And reported there. I think we were there only a day or two. Then we headed north up to, I don't know the real name of the island, we called it Cat Island, where we hid out in the harbor there and would make sorties from now and then up to Guadalcanal to up the slot whenever we, well, I don't know the strategy. But from time to time we would sortie out and run up the slot at Guadalcanal and then come back again. forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I remember, which seems like an anachronism now, I guess in the first part of the war, the Navy hadn't quite yet realized that they were in a real shun-up war, because I remember when we first pulled into this Cat Island, the skipper wanted to send a landing party ashore to see what was going on. So, I being the junior medical officer, naturally was elected to go along with the landing party. They dressed us, we were instructed to put on our whites and land and contact any natives or people that we could find there and see what was going on. Well, luckily, there were no Japanese on the island, because I never will forget us stepping ashore in whites with the flags flying and all of the other things. And it's so being greeted by two or three natives, I think, who worked on a coconut plantation there.
Mm-hmm.
But within a very short time, we had established an officers' club and a recreation area and things there at this island. It was not too far. To me, it was only like overnight, a couple of days from Espiritu Santo. We'd go up there sometimes when we would be on our way to a bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I can't be more specific.
No, that's all right. I was just looking here at the ship's the ship's history, and it mentions that and you went back to San Diego.
Yeah.
For a short time.
Let's see.
That would have been, I'll tell you when that was. It says here it would have been October of 1943.
Well, we got back before that one time. Let's see, we arrived in the South Pacific.
It says January of 43.
Yeah, January
is when you got to New Caledonia.
Yeah, that's right.
And
then we were in that area until I think it was August of the same year. Went back to San Francisco, but that isn't the name of Portland. No, that's not right.
It says in October.
Yeah.
It says the ship returned to the United States and went to San Diego in October.
Yeah, but first we went to...
could be Bremerton, maybe?
No, not Bremerton. Across the bay from San Francisco.
Oakland.
That's where we went for resupplying, refurbishing, things of that kind.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we went down to San Diego, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And we picked up a new squadron there. Well, I've forgotten. Well, I think we may have gotten a new squadron in Oakland, because I remember the coming down the coast, we encountered a whole lot of the rollers as they came into the shore, and the ship. Well, it was not particularly rough, but the rolling motion of the waves affected a lot of our pilots adversely. We joined some other members of the fleet there at San Diego, it seems to me.
It says that you finally ended up going back to the you were involved in apparently in Tarawa,
that's
in that campaign, in the Gilberts. says your planes were involved in the bombardment of Tarawa.
That's correct. It would have been right after we were in San Diego, I guess. We went back out in that area, and took part in that operation. Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, well, you don't have to remember all the details, because I have, you know, the history of the ship here. I wanted to just ask you, when you had written that little piece for us.
Yeah.
And I wanted a little bit of background as to what led up to that event when the kamikazes came. Do you remember when? That was the late Leyte Gulf campaign.
Yes, that's correct.
That would have been October of 44. Some of the natives there realized that I had been present at the capture of Tarawa. There was nothing I could do that was wrong. Treated you like a king then.
Yes. Well, and of course this was not in Tarawa itself, this was just in Christmas Island, and the only connection being that it is now part of that republic. They call it my mind's gone. Anyway, that has nothing. Let's see, after Tarawa, we went to Inuitok, I believe, and took part in some operation there. Then we went to Guam.
See, I'm looking at the thing here, the history here.
Yeah.
It says that you were at Tarawa, and then from there you went back to Pearl. You went to Pearl. You went to San Diego again, and then you stayed there for a while, and then you went back to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And you were in Hawaii until the 22nd of January of 1944, and then you went to the Marshalls.
Yeah.
And the ship was involved in the Northern Attack Force, and that your planes were involved in the Kwajalein campaign.
Yeah, that's right. I remember now.
And then you went from there you went to Aniwetok.
Yeah.
And you were there for a time, went back to Pearl, stayed there for a couple of weeks, and then in March of 1944, you were involved in the vicinity of the Palau Islands, involved in bombing raids, and kind of moving back and forth, went back to Manus, and Espiritu Santo, and let's see, And then, let's see, you were involved, I guess, supporting the invasion of the Marianas.
Yeah.
Particularly Saipan and Guam.
All of this taking